And so we took Grandfather into our midst. Then I noticed that he wasn't actually dressed particularly nicely. It was of course appropriate for his surroundings. And I was a little proud of my appearance, of my looks. I had been given such a beautiful robe, although I was convinced that Grandfather had done much more good than I had. The distinguished companion must have seen my thoughts, because he said, "He won't lack better robes. First we have to get him out of here." And so it was. We went with him from house to house, from stable to stable, and he said goodbye, and we had the feeling that it was quick, because my distinguished companion was just as short with me as he had been with me before. He simply took him by the hand and was off again. There was no need to look around carefully, he was allowed to look at things everywhere, and then there was a quick escape. And so it went with the grandfather, with my distinguished companion, and with me, up to this house that was to be my home for a long time. And everyone who was there greeted the grandfather like an old friend. He was amazed and said, "Yes, I feel superfluous here. What am I supposed to do in this house? What am I supposed to do here at all? You have taken me away from my beautiful work." And the Great Spirit now said to him, "You must finally get rid of this idea and become free. It is not always about your personal will, but you should submit yourself to God's order and God's will. You were allowed to do what you wanted, but there was also a time, and it had to end. You will also find more than enough work here to support and help others. After all, there is more than one village in the kingdom of heaven where you have to see to it that things are right, and in the earthly world there is also more than just your village where you lived. One should not be so bound." And then they brought Grandfather a drink and told him that he should now have something to eat to strengthen him. Then he would feel a little tired and should lie down and rest a little, because he had really worked a lot recently. Grandfather agreed to this. He took this drink, found it delicious and lay down to sleep. This time of rest for his mind has the ability to change his thinking a little. He should now lose his bondage through this sleep, or so it was explained to me. And so it was. Then they brought him completely different clothes, and he was dressed differently, because Grandfather really was a good, helpful soul. He was just a little stubborn and believed that everything had to go as he ordered and that only he could see to it that things were right. He had to learn to think differently, but through his sleep he was healed. And when I stood there in front of him and he opened his eyes, I had the feeling that I was looking at a transformed grandfather. He seemed much younger to me, completely young, and I had no memory of his appearance when he lived as a human being. I thought he had become younger and changed through sleep. I was given confirmation of this. Yes, he has changed, he has become young again. And so, since you are so helpful and kind, you can both offer your services to the other ascending spirit brothers and sisters from this heaven. You should now turn away much more from the earthly world and from the people who have remained behind there. Other spirit brothers and sisters would take care of them. Our activity now should be that we give our helpfulness and our love to those in the spiritual realm who really need it. We have a beautiful life in this family. We live really contentedly and happily, although I was told that the time will come when we will have to leave this house again and each of us will take our own path towards further heights. But in the near future we will still have to fulfill our tasks together. And so I suspected that Grandfather was the one who wanted to be the leader. And I liked it that way. I was told, the hour will come when everyone has to go their own way and act independently. That will happen when you have risen spiritually and become stronger and at the same time have improved spiritually in your thinking and will. So I am active with my grandfather in the spiritual realm. Well, dear brothers and sisters, I have tried to tell you as well as I could, as I remembered it, so that this future world should not be foreign to you. So I leave you to the blessing of God. And for a short time, I am told, you will be able to ask your trusted brother a few questions. The time is advanced, so you should limit your questions. So I pronounce God's blessing upon you. God bless you. Joseph, God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, I would first of all like to answer questions related to what has been said. Dear spirit friend Joseph, I would be very interested to know which level Laura's spiritual self was on during her sleep, that she did not know her spirit brothers and sisters. During her life, she was also on higher levels while she was sleeping. She must have met her guardian spirit there. Joseph, yes, all of these things can be clarified or illustrated again when you cross over into the spiritual world. Footnote 1. 1. In other lectures and answers to questions by spirit teacher Joseph, the following explanations can be found, which provide a more detailed answer to the question. When a person sleeps, their spirit is detached from their earthly body and can have their experiences in the spiritual world and receive teachings from their guardian spirit. When the spirit returns to its body, it is usually unable to take the spiritual experience with it into its human consciousness, because its vibration is reduced again. But why does the spirit not immediately remember these experiences after returning to the world beyond? Because at death, at the final separation of body and spirit, the odd extremes of the earthly body are drawn back into the spiritual body and soul. This odd of the earthly body is the bearer of all the memories and feelings of the human being. All of this is absorbed by the spiritual body and soul when dying. Therefore, the deceased initially thinks, feels and behaves exactly as if he were a human being and also has the same knowledge or ignorance as if he were a human being. End footnote. Joseph, yes, and then we heard that this transformation of the grandfather, that is, the rejuvenation, actually only took place in the higher stages and not at the beginning. Joseph, yes, it couldn't have happened earlier either, because he hadn't changed his thinking. Then this stubbornness, which is often found mainly in older people, is the obstacle. Joseph, yes, you take your peculiarities, your whole mentality with you, and it is an obstacle to progress. Dear Joseph, what was it like with the storm that Laura told us about, which was approaching this farm? And yet this grandfather was actually allowed to bring about protection. Why didn't the storm itself pass through or be removed from this place? Joseph, yes, I could now remind you of the story that Spirit Sister Len told. See the lecture An Educational Journey in the Spiritual World in the booklet Meditation Week 1969, in which some things can be prevented. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I'm withdrawing. God's blessing accompany and protect you. God's greetings. Report of the experience of the ascending spirit being Laura and answers to questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Quartenktenstress, Zurich. Template, tape recording next case. March 4, 1970 Otto's awakening in the afterlife of an eccentric and his experiences with earthbound deceased. The impressive experience of a great animal lover. How forest animals are cared for after their death and led into the spiritual world. Joseph, greetings from God. Dear brothers and sisters, it is I, your trusted friend. It is my task to present to you the experiences of an ascending spirit brother. Since we still have to take some consideration of the powers available to us, I have taken on the task of giving you this report myself. So if people speak a little more slowly than usual during this hour, I ask for your understanding. If I now tell you about a deceased person who passed into the spiritual world 50 years ago, let's call it the even number, you will ask yourselves how it is possible that I can now describe the entire experience of this spirit. In this technologically highly developed time, it should not be particularly difficult for you to understand something like this, because you too have the opportunity to see events that may have happened 50 years ago. You have been told again and again that all of man's achievements have long been present in the spiritual world. So this should be quite understandable to you. To clarify further, however, I would like to say that I have my helpers at my disposal who are looking for suitable spirit brothers and sisters who one can talk about or who one can ask to talk about themselves. And so this has now come about, when we agreed together with the higher spirit brothers and sisters, which should be instructive and good for you. Mediator Beatrice Brunner had just recovered from flu. With this explanation, I am trying to lift the curtain on the other world a little, and since new friends keep coming here and much of what is said is strange to them, they must try to familiarize themselves with it and talk it out with friends. The spiritual world is so similar to the world you live in. But enough of that now. I am now talking about a spirit who was considered an oddball in his human life. This oddball was called Otto. Oddball is a person whose behavior is unusual and strange. He did not get along with people. He had great peculiarities, and so he also separated himself from the communal life of his surroundings. About a kilometer from the edge of a forest, he had set up a hut in which he wanted to live. He wanted to have as little to do with people as possible. He was an oddball, but he had to be able to live, and so he was forced to do some work. There were a few farms nearby where he could work. In fact, people were very happy when Otto came and offered his services. In this way, he was able to stock up on food and the necessities he needed for the winter. The food he received for his work was mostly smoked meat, dried beans, fruit, pears and apples. He collected herbs. So he actually had enough supplies for the time when he could not earn anything and lived only in his hut. Since he was dependent on this work to live, he had to make an effort to get along with these people. But even among them, he was known as an oddball, but they made an effort with him. They didn't have to give him money for his work, they just gave him food, and what he got in addition was some straw and hay. Now I would like to tell you about the hut in which he lived. It was very simple. There was only a table and a couch, which served as his resting place. This couch was actually an ordinary wooden bench, and on this wooden bench was a sack filled with leaves. He slept on this sack of leaves, and every autumn he replaced the leaves in this sack. He used a military coat that he had once been given as a gift as a blanket. He also had the opportunity to make his room warm. He could look for wood himself in the forest. There was plenty of it. Well, that was his home. It should also be mentioned that he kept the necessities of life in a large box, including bread, which he always got from the farmer's wife. Next to this room, he had a small outbuilding filled with straw and hay. As he didn't get on with people, he loved animals all the more. He went for a lot of walks in the forest and was sometimes able to help an animal in need or sick. He used the hay and straw that he had acquired for his animals in the winter. He laid it out very close to his hut, and so the animals came and they immediately knew where there was something for them. He also had his own special language with the animals, but he loved them even less people. So he lived on. Then the time came for him too when he had to say goodbye to this world. He became ill and died in this hut. One day he was found dead on his bed. The hut was left in this state for a long time, just as it was. But now I would like to tell you about this Otto when he woke up as a spirit. His mother stood by his side and pointed out to him that he had now left the world and was now living in the spiritual world. But he did not want to believe this because he still felt like a human being and he was still in his hut. So his spirit had not been carried away, he had been left where he was and his mother had been asked to talk to him. He knew that his mother had died long ago and so she was supposed to be a witness to him that there is life after death. But he was so tied to the earthly world and his thinking was so base that it was impossible for him to believe that one could live on after death in a similar form to that of a human being. And so at first he thought he was only dreaming. His mother spoke to him very forcefully, but it was no use. He began to rant about people, about their wickedness and all the harm they had done to him. His mother tried to comfort him and tell him that he now had to think differently, that he should trust in God and learn to pray. He did not listen to his mother, and so she had no choice but to do what the Spirit of God had recommended, to get away from him. And Otto remained alone in his hut. Now he felt a little tired at first. He lay down on his bed as usual and fell asleep. When he woke up, he had no idea how long his sleep had lasted. He felt a little better now, but his attitude had not changed. It seemed to him as if he could see much better than before. Everything was so clear in his mind's eye, he could see everything, and what he now saw and experienced bothered him. Because when he woke up, He realized that there was someone else lying next to him. So he got angry, grabbed him and threw him off the bed. The other was disappointed, defended himself against this rudeness and said to him, "As long as you were sleeping on this bed, I was lying next to you. I'm staying on this bed, I have enough space next to you." Now Otto started to rage and said that this was his hut and that the other had no business being there and had to leave. But this other man didn't even think of leaving. He said, "I'm staying here." But this Otto became rude and kept throwing him off the bed. Finally, this other man had enough and left the hut, but not without cursing and cursing Otto. He threatened him that he would take his place again at the next opportunity. Then he also said to him, "You don't believe or know at all that you're dead. We're not human anymore. We have to be able to get along, we belong together. There's no point in you arguing with me. There's enough room here. And if you don't want to, I'll make sure that I can stay here. I'll call the others to help me, and soon your hut will be full so that you won't be able to defend yourself anymore." Otto simply didn't want to believe that, and he thought he was strong enough to throw them all out. But slowly he had to realize that things weren't the same as before. This other man, who now took his place in front of the hut, made himself very comfortable here. He started singing and whistling, and that bothered Otto again. Then he went and collected wood in the spirit realm to make a fence around his hut. He later realized that this was of no use. Over time he began to doubt, because things had changed significantly. But he simply felt like a human being and not a spirit. He didn't believe that he had died. This spiritual fence that he had built around the hut was just right for the other man. He sat down on it and continued whistling and singing just as before. Otto had to realize that it was pointless to get worked up about it. But he decided to go around the forest again and look after the animals. He also looked in the box to see what food was left. But strangely enough, he didn't feel hungry or thirsty at all, but he thought that there might be a long winter and he would have to stock up again. He thought like a human being, one time, and the next time he started to doubt again. Precisely about this new world, about this new environment. This other, who had made himself comfortable in front of his hut and now and then climbed up this spiritual hedge to sing and whistle, suddenly called out to Otto, "Come, Otto, look, the tawny owl is coming with his own." And Otto came out. And of course that was new to him. What was the other actually talking about? Who was the tawny owl? "Ha," said the other. "You'll see him coming soon. I can see and hear him already. It's the tawny owl. You know, you have to experience that if you love animals so much." And now Otto saw this tawny owl. He was also a deceased human, and in a certain sense he had been an outsider on Earth. And what did this tawny owl do? He walked around in the forest and looked after the dying animals, then taking their spirits with him. The fact that he was given the name Tawny Owl came from himself, because he had told the other, they had already spoken to each other several times. "When I lived as a human, people called me a strange owl. And now I live in the forest most of the time, and you can keep giving me that name, call me Tawny Owl." And so he was and remained the Tawny Owl for others too. I would like to describe him or his activities. As I said, he took care of dying animals, of animals that had become ill and in need over the course of the seasons. He always found them, and he always found enough animals. They were birds and all kinds of animals that had lived in the forest. There was the wild boar, the wolf, the hare, the deer, the stag, which now accompanied this tawny owl. They went with him, because he had fetched them. The spirit world of God had granted him a territory for this task and said to him, "Here in this area you may take care of the animals that are dying, and then you must bring them to us." That was a great joy for him. That was his activity in the world beyond for the time being. He was close to the earth. He was still earthbound in essence, but he wanted to do something that gave him joy, and this was granted to him. Now Otto saw this tawny owl. And he saw the other one calling out to him, laughing at him and pointing at Otto. "He's one of ours now too." This tawny owl seemed to be comfortable, because he too was singing and cheering. He was happy with the entourage he was leading. There were the birds, some of which clung to his shoulders, his head, his hands and wherever they could. But before these animals followed him, he had to get used to them. He had to stay with them for a while until they had calmed down, until they were willing to go with him. And since he always went from one animal to another with a very good entourage to take it with him, they became like a special family. These animals couldn't hurt each other, because with earthly death they had lost all wildness. And then this tawny owl went with his animals to the place where he was to hand them over to an angel of God. There was a large field, and there stood the leading spirit of God with a good number of spiritual helpers who now came and separated all the animal spirits according to their species and led them away. After all, these dead animals had to be escaped from the earthly world, they had nothing to do with people on this earth. And so the tawny owl gave all these animals away. He had the satisfying feeling of having accomplished something great, and he was praised for it. But the angels of God hoped that the time would come for him too when he could be taught about other, spiritual things or spiritual laws, because up to now he did not want to know anything about higher things. It was enough for him to collect these animals and know that the animal also lives on after its death. What happened to the animals did not concern him. He was satisfied to know that they were in good hands. And so he went deep into the forest again. All of this could now be told and explained to Otto, and he believed that this could be a task for him too, since after all he had also taken care of the animals. And so he expressed his wish to fulfill this task together with the tawny owl. But this tawny owl was also an oddball, and he did not want anyone to help him. He wanted to do his work all alone. He wanted to be alone with the animals. It was always an experience for him when he was able to witness the spiritual awakening of an animal. That was his great joy, and he did not want to share it with anyone. He was proud that he could hand over so many animals to the angel. Well, the mother soul came back, because she had to look after Otto, and she said to him, "Try to escape from this environment now. You cannot live in this hut forever." But Otto did not want to and said, "If I leave here, then others will take possession of my apartment." And the mother soul said to him, "Leave them this hut if they enjoy living in it. Give it to them." But Otto could not yet make up his mind, and his mother had to say to him, "If you are not prepared to free yourself from the heaviness of your feelings and from your attachment to this earth, you will never experience heaven." And she began to tell him about the world in which she lived, that she had it much better than he did and that she would so like to share her happiness with him. Otto was now slowly coming to terms with the truth that he was no longer living as a human being. This was also made clear to him, and now he began to think, if he escaped this earthly world and came under the general rule of God in the world beyond, then it might be that things would not go particularly well for him. For he realized that he had argued a lot with people and that this could have consequences. He felt burdened. But his mother soul comforted him and said, "In the beginning it will be difficult for you, because you have to admit what you have done wrong. You will be led to many people and have to ask them for forgiveness because you have insulted them in life or caused them pain. You have to make amends." He did not like that, but his mother tried again and again to make it clear to him, "You are not the only one who is so burdened and full of guilt. There are so many others who have a burdened soul and who need to free themselves from this burden." She needed a lot of persuasion to make him understand that he was well disposed towards him in heaven and would be forgiven, but that it was up to him first to see reason and be prepared to atone for what he had done wrong. Otto finally let himself be persuaded and asked his mother, "If you stay with me in the beginning, then I will come with you straight away." The mother had long since agreed with the angels that she would like to help her son in the first difficult times and would therefore go down to him, that she would do the same work as him and take on all the difficult things like he did. And so the mother promised, "I will stay with you. I will not separate from you and I will be a protective, helpful spirit to you." Otto had now decided to go with his mother. He found it difficult to leave his hut to the other, but he went. And his mother fled with him from this earthly realm and led him into the spiritual world, That is, into a spiritual plane that was a little further away from the earth and people, where he would find his home. This home, of course, had no special comforts or beauty, it was a simple, modest world. Actually, he was not disappointed about this, because there were huts here similar to his, which he had left behind. He even found it much more beautiful. And the mother said to him, "We must live here. The Spirit of God who judges you will come to us. You should listen to what he tells you and you should ask for forgiveness. You should also ask for help, so that other spirit beings come and fill your soul with good thoughts and with strength, so that you can climb up and reach the heights." She told him emphatically, "What the Spirit of God tells you, do not contradict it, but tell it that you feel guilty and that you are ready to make amends." And the mother soul continued, "Do not be afraid. I am with you." And so they entered the hut and waited for the angel of God. It was not long before he came to them and held a small court. He reproached Otto for what he had done wrong. But the mother held both of his hands firmly, and so he was able to lower his head to the spiritual earth and say the words, "I feel guilty and I am ready to make amends for what I have done wrong." The angel was happy about these words and said to him, "You have your mother to thank for this, who is a missionary spirit for you." And he then gave him his task. He had to work and he had to come into community with other spirit brothers and sisters. There he had to prove that he could live with them without quarreling. But this did not seem so difficult to Otto, because his mother was with him. She would draw his attention to him, she would admonish him to be silent. And so it was. The mother soul had voluntarily taken on this task in order to help her former biological son. The work he had to do was not so easy. For many people told him what to do, he had many masters who gave him orders and this was to test him. For he had to learn obedience and had to become humble. He should not rebel against what was demanded of him. His mother was with him and admonished him. And so, after a long time, he managed to change his thinking and lighten the burden of his soul. And so the Spirit of God was pleased with him and even praised his mother. But now Otto was to go into purification alone, and when he had finished this, he should be able to climb a step further. So he was given the opportunity to work his way more and more into God's plan of salvation. He was now also taught about this. So a time began for him that became interesting for him, because he began to be amazed. Now he experienced what is meant by the redemption of mankind. God's plan of salvation and order, the plan of creation, was explained to him. And so he experienced miracle after miracle, and he became more and more eager, and through his zeal and insight he cleared the way to the top. He climbed from rung to rung, so that at the present time he lives as a happy spirit in community with others and carries out an activity that gives him joy. So, dear brothers and sisters, I have once again given you an insight into life in the spiritual world and explained to you how beings can behave when they have laid aside their earthly body, but are not yet aware that they have bid farewell to the world as a human being and are living on in a spiritual realm. In the beginning they can still be so earthbound and still have the same desires as when they were human, so that they do not want to leave the earth. So the help of the ascended spirit brothers and sisters is always needed, and so over time one can experience one miracle after another and let it work on him. And so he becomes happy in the divine world, which he can only marvel at and admire. So, dear brothers and sisters, I have now told you about an ascending spirit. It is no longer possible for me to answer any questions. I am withdrawing. May God's blessing be with you all. May your thoughts and desires reach a high level. May you rise in your thoughts so that your soul is happy and your faith is strengthened. God bless you. Report of experiences by Spirit Teacher Joseph through his mediator Beatrice Brunner in the Hall on Mar 1 Quartenkindstrasse, Zurich. Original, tape recording, April 1, 1970. Anastasia, once a duchess, then a beggar. When a vice can no longer be lived out in a new earthly life and it is thereby possible to build up a new, higher way of thinking in the soul. Joseph, God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, A spirit sister is speaking to you by the name of Anastasia. These reports are intended to be an instruction for you. We hope that our spirit sister can tell the story well and in a way that you can understand. There is a reason why I have given these reports myself on several occasions.